Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete.
Over the last few programs, I have been teaching on the subject, the reconciliation ministry. We are the ones that God has called us to reconcile the world unto him. We have been called to be reconciled one to another. The apostles were commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ just before he ascended into heaven to go to Jerusalem and wait till they were endued with power from heaven. And that's what they did. They went to Jerusalem and waited. And the Bible teaches us in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that the Lord God told them, "And when you shall receive the power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when the power of the Holy Ghost came upon them, they were completely changed. Something truly happened to them. Their hearts and their spirits were opened to the mysteries of God. They could prophesy. They could speak with other tongues. They had incredible boldness to preach the gospel. It came to the point where they give their very lives for the Jesus that they served. This is a powerful testimony. We know for a fact that the apostles knew that their home was heaven. The apostles one time came to Jesus rejoicing that the devils and diseases were subject unto them. They had been sent out by Jesus to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and to do miracles. And when they came back, they were rejoicing. And the Lord Jesus Christ basically said to them, this should be your ordinary way of living. And that shouldn't be your real source of rejoicing. But your real source of rejoicing should be that your name is written in heaven. And this is what this is all about. Bringing people into the kingdom of God so that they can rejoice because of their name being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Has that happened to you? Have you received the power of the Holy Ghost that reveals to you that your name is written in heaven? I want to challenge you today to receive the Holy Spirit so that you can not only cast out devils and heal the sick, but also know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So today I will teach on the reconciliation ministry. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, O Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will bless the listeners. Open their hearts to the truths of your word. I thank you for your grace. I ask you, Lord, to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. When we study the Word of God, we can clearly see a blueprint and the system being set before us on how to operate when we reconcile the world unto God. The Lord has given us a commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. But before we go, we need to be endued with power from heaven. There's an interesting scripture found in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. The apostle Paul found some believers and he asked them, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And this is a big problem with many of the church today. Yes, they have heard of a Holy Ghost, but they have never been taught that they need to receive the power of that Holy Ghost. They have been told that these things were for the apostles. So we need to repent from that idea. We need to turn away from that idea and start seeking the indwelling and power of the Holy Ghost so that the Lord God can use us in this ministry of reconciliation. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, that the Lord gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It seems like that one of the biggest reasons we have pastors and teachers today is to keep people assuring that they belong to God. People don't seem to have the faith in their salvation and in the power of the blood of Jesus. So the pastor and teacher constantly have to remind them that the word of God stands sure when it comes to salvation. Many people, because of their lack of motivation to work in the ministry, even lose their assurance of salvation. They get so caught up in the world that they seem to forget that the Lord Jesus Christ saved them. That is written down in 2 Peter chapter 1. If a person does not operate in the ministry of reconciliation, he will even forget that he has been saved by the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be aware of that. He simply seems to be telling us, if you don't go forward, you will go backwards. Now the question will be asked, what is our gifting? How do we find out about our giftings of the Spirit? What gift and what administration has God got for me? I used to listen to a preacher that would repeat a phrase over and over again. He would tell us the spiritual runs parallel with the natural. What he means by that is this. The natural operates exactly like the spiritual. We all know that we cannot all be brain surgeons in the natural. We cannot all be truck drivers. We cannot all be farmers. We cannot all be policemen. We cannot all be teachers. We cannot all be hockey players or football players or any of those things. God has placed in each and every one of us a gift. This means we pursue something that we like. We are going to operate in the natural with what we like doing. Many people today work at a job that they don't really enjoy. Instead of pursuing what is really on their hearts, they're passive or and lazy, or do not simply get the chance to pursue what they want to pursue. So throughout their lives, they simply just have a drudgy life. But once they start getting into what God has really gifted for them, they start to enjoy life because they enjoy what they're doing. And the reason they enjoy it is because it is very natural to them. It's a gift. Many people go into music. To them, music is a natural gift. They listen to one song and they know exactly how to play it. This is what I mean by God gifting people. And this is how it works in the spiritual realm. God wants you to seek out the giftings that God has given to you. I will read to you some of the gifts and some of the administrations that God has for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 27. It tells us, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Then he asks, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? Here we can understand that there are different giftings of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when I speak to people who are a little sarcastic of the idea that healing is for today, and I sometimes wonder, maybe the very same people who are sarcastic about it and sometimes even make fun of it, sometimes I wonder if God has not gifted them for healing or for doing miracles. And here they are making fun in a sarcastic way. We have to remember God has placed a different gift on many different people. And at the judgment seat of Christ, that gifting will be held out to you and you will have to give an account why you did not pursue it. These things have been given to the body of Christ. These giftings have been given to the body of Christ, and we will have no excuse at the judgment seat of Christ one day, because we will have to give an account of what we did with the giftings that God gave to us. Oh yes, salvation will be there. Our salvation is what God did for us, not what we're doing for Him. So that will always be secure, regardless how we perform in this ministry of reconciliation. This is one thing that really thrills my heart. Regardless what a failure I am in this life, my salvation stands secure in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. That revelation should cause us to rejoice, whether we pursue the gifts of the Spirit or not. You may ask, how does one receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? We know at Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles as they were gathered in the upper room. When we become born again, we are instantly infilled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, which will assure us of our salvation. The Bible teaches us that's our down payment. But once that gift is in there, once that seed of the Holy Spirit, that down payment, is placed in our hearts, then it is up to us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there is a constant filling. And then there is a gifting of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes upon you and makes you ready for this ministry that you're supposed to be walking out into. We know that the power of the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles on Pentecost. The power of the Holy Ghost comes down on believers today. It fills them up. I have heard many testimonies where people would be praying to receive the Holy Spirit. Yes, they were Christians already, but then they had this experience where the power of the Holy Spirit came down on them. This is what happened to me. Not long after I became a Christian, I was praying with a friend, and then the power of the Holy Spirit came down and enveloped me. And let me tell you, that was some interesting experience. I can still remember that as clearly as it happened, as it would have happened today. But then again, the power of the Holy Ghost can be transferred by the laying on of hands. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." So we know that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, can come down from heaven and hit the person. And we know that it also can be transferred from one believer to another by the laying on of hands. Thus, people receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But once that gift comes upon you, once that power comes upon you, then you are the one that has to stir it up constantly. The Bible teaches us, be you filled with the Holy Spirit. Get filled constantly with that power so that you can be ready at any time to come against Satan when he attacks. What I have been teaching in this message is all scriptural. I read it out of the Word of God, and I want to convey this message to you that it is your responsibility to seek out the gifts of the Spirit so that at the judgment seat of Christ, you will with joy stand there and receive the blessings that God has for you. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He's done so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and
The Holy Spirit is very important when it comes to the reconciliation ministry. I have read of many missionaries who have gone out to be a missionary in foreign lands. And in many cases, you get testimonies like these. We would be ministering for years and years and nothing would happen. It seems like it was at a standstill. They would have one or two or three or four converts over a period of about 12 or 13 or 20 years. Then one day the power of the Holy Spirit would show up. Something would happen. Then things would explode. That's how it happened in the beginning when the disciples were endued with power on high. The message of salvation and the church simply exploded into existence and enveloped the whole world. I want to read to you a story out of Acts chapter 19, which has always intrigued me. In verse 1 of Acts chapter 19, it tells us, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. I want to make a few comments here. Over the years, I have listened to people on how to operate when it comes to becoming Christians. They will tell you that you need to get baptized in the right way. They will tell you that you have to use the name Jesus when you get baptized. They make doctrines and denominations out of these two issues. But for some reason, they forget verse 6, where it tells us that Paul laid hands upon them and the Holy Ghost came upon them and they prophesied and spake with other tongues. Why would you leave the end results out? That would remind me of somebody building a tractor. Yes, he would make sure that the right name is on there. Let's say John Deere. And he would make sure that that John Deere tractor had the right color, which would be green. So here we are making a fuss over the name and over the color, rejoicing in it. But the question is asked, how much power does that tractor have? This is what a tractor is all about, having power to plow the land. You can have the nicest color in the world, and you can have the best name. But if you are useless for the work in the field, then you're nothing. This is how it works with a Christian on this planet. You can have the right name. You can be baptized in the so-called right way. But if you do not have the power of the Holy Ghost to come against the enemy, you're useless for this ministry of reconciliation. So we need to understand these things and apply them to our hearts, because the time is short. We are heading for some interesting times. The weather patterns are changing. There are sicknesses, there's diseases. Demonic activity is being unleashed on this planet. And if we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be overwhelmed. At best, we will be miserably watching as the world around us simply disintegrates. So turn to the Word of God. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit. Make sure of your salvation first. Then seek the power of the Holy Spirit and start operating in the giftings that God has called you to operate in. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.
More tomorrow.